Roll back that beautiful bean footage and you'll find it.
I can't hear a thing in the game. It's like, hey, there's a friend request!
Alright, this bastard is on my... Okay, GTFO, bitch.
Alright, everybody. Here it comes. Sit back and enjoy the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Fraggin' and Laggin' Podcast. My name is Bobby, or Junkhead, or whatever you want to call me. And once again, thank you to each and every one of you guys and gals, or whatever you identify yourself as, for taking the time out of your day and listening to every podcast episode that we're putting out, subscribing it, giving it a 5-star rating or whatever. It is greatly appreciated from the bottom of my heart. I want to say thank you very, very much. And as usual, my co-host, the man with the plan, the human dance machine himself. Wait, not the human dance machine. The human. He's just a bad motherfucker. There. It's the homie from Belgium. What's going on, Joachim?
Hey, Bobby. What dance machine? I can't dance for shit, man.
You don't know that, but go ahead.
Maybe when I'm drunk, I feel like I can dance, you know?
Don't be.
Yeah, probably. Wait, an introduction to you. The man, the myth, the legend, the guy wearing pink headsets, Junkhead.
That's what I'm talking about.
I've been thinking about that one. Anyways, we got a pretty cool guest that that you helped me bring on the show. You showed him to me, I think about 2 months back. You showed his Twitter to me and his stream, and I was astonished by the setup and the stuff he got going on. And like when we started doing this show, I told you, like, we got to get this guy on. And you were like, yeah, we'll get him. No problem.
It's cool. So I got connections.
You got connections too, right? I didn't have to book this time. Anyways, we got an amazing dude. His name is Ball Valve, or BV. Ball Valve, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on the Fraggin'
really,
and Laggin' podcast, man.
You know what? I'm
really bad in intros, so I'm going to let Bobby do it.
I have to do this. I got to do this because you don't just go Ball Valve. You don't get Ball Valve. So if anybody's listening to it, I always throw like something special on for these guests to come on. Like the most YOLO swagged out of his mind streamer on Twitch. Ball Valve TV.
Boom. What's going on, everybody? What's going on? Man, so, it's an absolute pleasure being here, man.
Stop it. Stop it. Are you trying to make me cry already? Jeff Throw says it. Hey, buddy, is he always crying?
You're just crying because you can't get Jeff Throw on the show, but that's something else.
Just what? I need someone to get Jeff Throw. Anyway, this isn't about Jeff Throw. This is about the homie BV, man. But BV, thanks for coming on the show, man.
Yeah.
No, man. Like I said, I'm excited. And I think what's cool about what you guys are doing is being able to get a full story out of someone, because everyone's got a story, you know, and it can be dramatic and it can be subtle. Either way, you've got a story and everyone's got something to say. And the one thing I will say is the biggest thing that I get questioned about is every day, either Discord or Twitch, like, dude, what is going on behind you, you know? And what made me decide to do what I have done to make the most insane stream house in the world? That's what my vision was, you know? And not to get into detail real quick, but just that's what people's first reaction is like, what is this guy doing? You know, like, why? And there's a reason for where we are.
I was
today.
One of those people. I saw you like jump around and all lights around you, and I was like, oh my god, he's got like his own you know, disco going on in his stream house. You know,
he is the Twitch dance machine. I mean, I labeled you, but he's.
Really I'm awesome. I'm really curious how you got to that point. Like, who is BV? How did BV get interested into gaming? How did you become BV?
Well, it's kind of a crazy little story, and I'll try to keep things brisk, you know. But I got into a game in 1997, and I was born 95, right? So it was 1998, and
fuck,
I was playing
old
what is called He's Back
Frogger.
I was
18, I feel old.
The game was He's Back Frogger on PC, and all there was at the time was arrow keys in your space bar is the only thing you could use. And I used to play that for hours and hours on end. And my mom, because back in the day, we used to live in this 900 square foot house. And I used to just play Frogger, and I was like a freaking pro at it for a kid, you know? I was like, my fingers would be going, and my mom would look at me like, what are you doing? Like, how do you even know what you're doing right now? Because nobody had comprehended video games to that extent yet, you know, actually strategic stuff. They'd only seen, like, Pong and like, whatever, you know? But anywho, then I got, right after that game, I got into a game called Star Wars Rogue Squadron 3D PC. And that was developed and released in 1998. And I started playing that game heavily with a joystick, you know, being 5-6 years old. And then, what? Of course, right after that, what's going on? Counter-Strike Source. Boom. Counter-Strike Source changed the gaming PC, PC gaming in general for me. You know, I loved it. There was a lot of other games in between, a lot of MMOs. You know, I played RuneScape, believe it or not, from 2001 to 2011. I've played World of Warcraft from 2004 to current, which we're in 2020 now. You know, like, there's all these games in between, but those were like the real starters. But what really turned me into me, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, is Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. That game was the turning point of all of gaming for me.
That's me clapping. Go ahead. Go.
Yeah, golf clap. Call of Duty 4, by far,
was,
in my
opinion... I was wondering
who
started fapping, actually.
That was the best game. The best game that ever come out that I had thought competitively, like, was amazing, right? So I had friends in MLG. And at the time, it wasn't PC. I was playing on PlayStation. And I played on PlayStation, and I made my own MLG, which was MOG. Believe it or not, I didn't... Not super religious or anything, but it was called Men of God. And that's what... We just called it that. I thought it was a cool name. And I had a team, and we actually won a couple of tournaments. We'd go to, you know, do little landlines here and there. And, you know, we went to Vegas once. It was super cool and won a couple of tournaments. And it was awesome. You know, this is before, you know, esports days, you know. It wasn't really a thing yet. So I was like 13 at that time. And growing up, you know, I just naturally had played pretty much variety of games, you know. And I remember specifically when Fortnite was a thing. This is what got me into streaming, and I'm going to explain why. I know I'm that new era of streamer, but I'm going to explain why. If you guys know of a guy named Hysteria, Halo Pro, used to play with Ninja, great guy. And I played my first couple of matches on Random Duo Fill, season 3 or season 2 of Fortnite. And one of my very first connections was with a guy named Hysteria. Now, I didn't put the two and two together. I didn't think anything of it. And I'm playing with the guy, right? And he's talking, I'm talking, we're just hanging out. And he goes, dude, have you ever watched Twitch streams before? And I go, I don't even know what Twitch is. He goes, yeah, like, do you watch people at all? And I go, yeah, on YouTube, you know? And he goes, why don't you check out Twitch sometime? And I go, okay. So he's like, go check my channel out right now. Meanwhile, the guy's got 90,000 viewers, just had a Ninja host put onto him and had like 80 or 90,000 people watching. And I was just like, all of a sudden, like, what in the hell is going on here? Like, and everyone's listening to me and everyone's making fun of me in chat because I suck at the game. I'm like, dude, this is great. Like, people can comment at the same time you're playing. How genius is this? You know, I've never seen that. And I was like, dude, I got to get involved in this one way or another. So I had a really, really shitty PC, like 2009 Alienware Aurora R3. And it had two really bad AMD Radeons in it. It was really shit for being current time, which was 2018. And, you know, I got, you know, my stuff figured out. I had two monitors. Actually, I had three monitors at the time. And I basically started from ground zero. Nobody helped me. No one was like, hey, you know, like for instance, it could have been very easy for Hysteria to, like, help me out and be like, hey, let me show you how to do overlays. Nope, none of that happened. We played a game. We, you know, people ask, hey, do you still talk to him? No, I don't. He's a nice guy. I see him in his streams and he says hi to me once in a while, but that's the extent, you know? And I just started my own thing. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stream. I think this is awesome. I think this is for me. And I did my first stream. And I remember I had told my father, I said, mind you, my parents are the most supportive people in my life, including Andrea, you know, my fiance, who's very, very supportive of everything I do, which I'm very blessed in that regard. Regardless, when I told my dad I'm gonna stream, kind of not for a living, but like I'm gonna stream, like I'm gonna do this, he looked at me and goes, so people are gonna watch you play video games? I go, yeah, dude. Like, he goes, all right, dude, whatever you think is best, man, you do it. He had no idea.
And I think everyone's parents or like their loved one has that same reaction, is that so people are going to watch you play video games. This is a thing? And they're like, I'm like, yeah, it is.
It's actually a thing. Like,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
You know, and for me, it'd be one thing if I was super knowledgeable on the game and I could, like, point you in the right direction. And I've been playing the game 3 months before release so I can teach everyone the game. No, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just being me. You know, I'm not anyone super special to these games. I'm just some face, you know? So, anywho, I started the stream and I told my dad about it, and I had one viewer the whole time for the very first stream. For all 12 hours, I streamed 12 hours of Fortnite by myself. And naturally, coming from music, which I'm going to get into here in a minute, naturally coming from the production side of being an entertainer, I knew what I had to do. And that meant never shutting up. Talk. Even if no one's there. But I saw one person there, so I acted like I was in a full conversation. And the next day, you know, the stream, you know, shut it down, whatever, got like one follower. And the next day, my dad goes, dude, I watched your entire stream last night. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, you know that one viewer? I was that one viewer. He didn't even have an account. He was just watching. And he goes, dude, you've got it. You've got the personality for this. You've got, like, the way you did it. Like, yeah, you have a lot to go on production value, but you have the personality to do this. And I was like, shit, man. Like, maybe I do. I mean, when you get that kind of confidence boost from your family that believes in you, it's a big deal, you know? And for me, I'm speaking on the other side because a lot of people have spoken on the other, you know, where they were outcast to their families. And for me, I was like they were supportive from day one, which was nuts. Kind of crazy and awesome at the same time. But anywho, real quick to backtrack, I've been in 7 different bands, touring bands, and, you know, the biggest one I was known in was TSOL, True Sounds of Liberty. I played with them, featured with them for a few years. I played with Yeasty Boys with a Y. I played in Circus Jerks, the 405 Pileup we played in all sorts of great stuff and had a lot of fun when I was younger, from the ages of like 12 to 19. I was touring and playing shows and going to Vegas and whatever. You know, it was super fun, man. I loved the entertainment and I loved the me being able to entertain someone. Like, when I was on stage, though I was the lead guitarist, for some reason, I was always the guy that people were looking at from the crowd, because I'd be doing that crazy, I'd be running off of amps, I'd be eating shit, you know, I'd be smashing into things and, you know, just super hyped to play my shows. And I bring that same energy to my show now, which is awesome.
Can I interrupt you 1 second?
Absolutely.
Did you just say eat shit? Because I was like trying to process that.
It means like wipe out.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah, I'm like, European. Like wiping out.
Yeah, okay, really, okay.
You guys out
okay,
there.
Okay, cool.
This yeah, is the language translation between, you know, English yeah. and Belgium. Yeah, he's not technically eating shit.
Junkhead knows.
I was like, yeah, who hasn't fucking... Yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, especially when you're on stage, you know, that's, you know... When you get that kind of adrenaline rush, I'm not talking... Yes, I've played... thousands of bars. It's not all fame and glory when it comes to music, especially my genre, which was punk rock. But there were a few times where we were playing massive crowds and bigger shows than I've ever seen for our genre, and our band would be headlining. It was like that right there would just, the amount of energy and adrenaline that you get, that boost, these people are all there to see you. And that was something that I carry over to now what my stream is today. So now going back into the streaming of me starting streaming, I was on that really bad PC, could barely run, 3 monitors even though I only used 2. Then I upgraded and got a new monitor and a new PC, and which was awesome at the time. I needed a new PC, a 1080 Ti with 64 gigs of HyperX DDR4 RAM, i9900K CPU. It was a good package for what I needed at the time. And I actually got an ultra wide. If you look at my old clips, which eventually, I mean, they pop up all the time. You look at my old clips, you can see that the game is stretched out because I didn't know what I was doing. I was playing on an ultra-wide monitor, and I thought it would be a cool experience. Turns out the production was shit. But the funniest thing about that exact thing is Dangdrea, which is my fiance, she accidentally put her elbow to the chair that was sitting next to it because it was overextending my desk, and she spun the chair and the chair back hit the back of the screen and dumped it right onto the floor and broke the thing, right? This is like a $3,000 freaking, you know, monitor.
I'm having a little bit of a heart attack. Go ahead. We're good.
Oh yeah. And ooh. I remember Drea, she, I think I was asleep and she wakes me up and she's crying, full on crying. And I'm like, what was going on? She's like, "You're gonna hate me. I just broke your screen." I'm like, what? And I get up and I look. It's totally toast, right? And I go, "Oh, don't worry about it. We'll just get another one. You know, just don't worry about it. You know, just, you're tripping too hard about that stuff." And she's like, "No, like, I know that meant a lot to you." I'm like, "No, it's fine. I believe it or not, I was looking at production value of the stream anyways, and it doesn't fit. It's not something I need. So I'm gonna get another screen anyways." So then that's when I got the little bit better setup, where I was in the same room that maybe the OGs would remember. I was upstairs. Mind you, I'm putting things in perspective here. I live with my parents, okay? My mom and my dad and myself have gone into business together for not only the stream house, but also into property, everything. You know, I bought half this house, you know, so I'm not just sitting here. You know, I work a full-time job and this, which that's, I'm going to get into here in a minute. But we lived together, and I was upstairs in my room, literally bouncing off the walls. It's a meme still to this day. I'd start stream at 8 p.m. and end it at 4 a.m. It was a 8-hour show every single night I was off of work. And nobody would sleep during those hours because I'd be jumping. I'd be literally throwing myself off of walls and shit. It was awesome. It was the coolest thing, man. And people would come in and just be like, dude, is this guy on like some sort of crazy medication or whatever? And it's like, no, totally sober, actually. Like, this is me being me. I can finally be myself. You know, and that's why YouTube as a platform never worked out for me, because all of that is fake. You can fake a YouTube video. You cannot fake an 8-hour long stream. You can't. And you got to learn, it's magic being able to have an 8-hour stream, right? And have your average viewership watch you for 6 to 8 hours. Like, how do you retain? It's like a science, learning how to retain people's
their interest. Attention. Yeah.
Their attention, because we're all very quick. You know, I'm going to be honest. And honesty is always the best policy, and I can probably say this for most people. When someone like me, meaning I'm no pro gamer, I'm an entertainer. That's what I do. If I go into someone's stream and they're just like, hey, man, what's going on, man? You know, we're playing some video games today. For me, that doesn't get me going. Or if they don't even look at chat, you know, I need interaction. And I give you about 30 seconds. That's just the truth. And at 30 seconds or a minute, I've got to go on, you know? And for me, I could have zero viewers and I could be talking about, shit, World War III, you know? And then someone's going to come in and go, what the hell is this guy talking about? I'm going to get in on this, you know? And that's how the balls start rolling. And just learning how to talk to yourself in the beginning stages of streaming. And then, of course, you know, I gained a little bit of traction from a game that I was playing, which was called Crunker. I was gaining some traction in that community. I was one of the very first streamers to stream that game. It didn't even have a Twitch category when I started streaming it. It wasn't even a recognized game. So I just did hashtag Crunker. And the developers actually found me the very day that I played, and they verified me and they said they wanted to partner up with me and all this stuff, which was awesome. And I thought something pretty cool would come out of it. And it did. For 2.5 years or 2 years, I played that game, and that was like what BV was known for, aside from the quote-unquote king of hype, got this crazy stream house, you know. It was like that was his game. Well, I'm in the middle of doing something that I've done before, where you're switching a game, and let's just say you're holding 75 average viewers, and you go from one game that everyone knows you in, and you go to another game, and now you're holding 15, 20, maybe 8. You know what I mean? Those are things that every streamer has gone through. Every single one of them. I can say without a doubt, 99%.
I can vouch for that. I can vouch for that.
99% of streamers have gone through that, where they build themselves up into a community of that game genre, and then you move to another game, and it's rebuild. You rebuild again. It's time to rebuild again. It's just a constant. This is not. And I'm sure it's been said multiple times, probably even on this podcast, but it's not the destination. It's the journey. And you're going to have to learn to accept the journey. And when things are going up and when things are going down, being able to stay steady level with your mind and being able to know and stay humble during the good times and be hungry at all times. You know, and learning and what you can do to change, or what you can do to, you know, better yourself, right? And now that's what I get, is a lot of people will come in and they'll be like, you know, the one thing that bugs me the most is people come in and be like, dude, you should be averaging 1,000 viewers right now. It's like, well, dude, nobody would know me if they didn't know me. You didn't know me 30 seconds ago. How would you know? You know, people come in brand new, like, dude, this guy should be holding 1,000 people. Well, I can't unless people like you come in and see it. And you have to see it and maybe share it or whatever. Growing on social platforms is not easy anymore. It used to be a tad bit easier, but when you've got now in 2020 over 5 million streamers to watch daily, why am I going to watch you? You know what I mean? It's like 5 million people are streaming nowadays on Twitch. How are you going to
stand out? Make your,
how are you going to stand out from the crowd? How are you going to be a niche? How are you going to be unique? And that's something that I've stumped a lot of people on. It's like, they're like, how, what do I do? You know what, you know, I'm a chill streamer. You know, the guys that are in here, they like me, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, the honest truth is, you know, maybe you're, I'm just saying, maybe you're being a little too quiet. Maybe you're not using open-ended questions right. You know, you're just getting a yes or no answer from chat. You know, learning, it's an actual, like, science. Learning how to be able to talk with your chat and get them to want to talk, you know, which is a little, you know, off the rails here. But just something about me was that. So getting into the stream house is a totally different thing. As you guys can probably predict, being that I live with my family, my dad came up to me about a year into streaming and was like, dude, I gotta really talk to you, man. And I go, what's up? He goes, dude, your stream is you know, it's really taking off. You're doing great things. But dude, you need to like get a, we need to rent you a studio space or build you like a shack next to the house or something so that we can sleep because we haven't slept in over a year. I go, dude, I totally understand. I totally get it. I'm gonna look into renting a studio.
And before he goes any further, you guys, it's a thing that he does. He always did. And like, I'm one of the OG spectators of Ball Valve. And whenever it was the BV hype, and whenever the BV hype, and literally you're talking about an entertainer that would literally bounce off of every wall in his room that was possible. And then switch cameras, and then he had this, he always has this one, the BB Hype song. He had two BB Hype songs, but my favorite one was the Round 2 Fight, you know?
Yep.
And that's it. It was
walking
the same
like
thing.
Walking like a talk it.
And then there was lasers involved, and literally, you're talking about a space of like, I don't know how, it was a really small room, but he made it work.
We made it work, you know? It was like, I looked at that room as a canvas, right? Like an open canvas. Like, what can I do? You know, everyone puts leaves behind their, you know, whatever those things are called, those illuminated leaves behind their chair nowadays. Like, that's the thing to do. Sure, it looks ambient. Lighting looks good. But I was like, dude, I want to do something completely different. You know, I did, of course, the LED strips. I did custom light bulbs. I did flashers. I even had a stage production light, that a DMX light, where you can control it with the DMX board and have flashing lights. And they're literally lasers, plus lasers in my hand, like a fucking lightsaber, which was awesome. And, that's where it all kind of like really started. But the BV Hypes, going into that real quick, that happened on accident. That whole thing, there is the original BV Hype clip still on my Twitch. It's actually on YouTube as well, the original. And it was to an Eminem Soldier remix song. And somebody had requested me to, you know, listen to that song. And it just so happened that I was just feeling good, and I got up and started totally doing stupid stuff, you know, what is known as crip walking. I call it bee walking, like ball valve walking. So I do that and like jump off of like everything. I jump out of my chair, I'd have a llama from Fortnite that's a full 3D print, full size. I'd ride that thing, and dude, it was great. It was awesome. It was fun times. It was great entertainment. So once my dad approached me about the whole, like, dude, we gotta sleep, bro. It was like, okay, I'll look into this. Now, mind you, I had known somebody named Nobody Does It Better. Nobody Does It Better.
Hashtag
I met
salt.
Him.
Salt's in the
hashtag
building.
Salt, aka Salt. And he came from another streamer. And that streamer happened to have to deal with medical emergency with his dad. So the guy was no longer streaming. He had really good traction. But all those guys knew me. And all those guys are people you know. Junkhead, that's Mr. Ron Mexico, 47, Nobody Does It Better. You know, I can, ODB, all these guys came from him. And Salt, you know, was like, dude, like, I wonder where you live. I live in Orange County. I go, I live in Orange County too. And this is all live, by the way. And he goes, no shit. He goes, you down to meet up? I said, fuck yeah, I'm down to meet up. So we met up, and this guy was one of the most genuine people I had ever met in my life. We sat down and I wanted to treat him to a dinner. Now, mind you, I didn't know his story. I didn't know his background, but I wanted to be a nice guest and treat, you know, him as such, as a guest. Pay for the dinner and, you know, blah, 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 and have a great conversation about streaming. Well, it turns out the dude wanted to invest in me. And I'm like, wait, what? And he's like, dude, you know, he I told him my thing where I was like, you know, I'm thinking about building like a building next to my house to stream in. And he goes, dude, if you need any money to get yourself off the ground, I'm totally here to help you. And I declined him three times in a row. Three times he'd offer it and goes, well, it's still on the table. I'm like, dude, I'll get it from a bank if I have to. I'll do whatever I got to do. So I did. I tried to go that route because I knew this was not going to be a very cheap setup. So I tried going through the banks. I tried getting credit, which, mind you, at the time, I had a 780 credit score. And I couldn't get a freaking loan for this. And I have stuff to write off. You know what I mean? They knew that I had collateral because I'm a car collector. Regardless, I wanted to do this, and he was so behind me. He's like, dude, I believe in you. I believe exactly in what you're doing right now. And I believe in your theory, because he's like, explain to me your blueprint in your mind of what this place would look like. And I originally told him, I said, dude, just like a couple TVs on the wall, you know, we'll have a nice rug in there. We'll have an area where we can have, you know, high-end cocktails or liquor, you know, just nice stuff for people to come in and enjoy and relax. Well, did that shit fucking change? Because my mind went haywire. That's my mind. That's why this room, this stream house, people look at it and go, this is too insane. It is too insane. It's literally what my brain is. My brain is this room. And that's what I love about it so much.
He's like so insane in the membrane. You know, it's just like one
insane
of those things.
Insane in the membrane.
It's like when everyone builds their stream setup, it's ever like evolving. Like I'll start here, then I'll move to this, and then I'll visualize this, and then I'll get there eventually. Whereas you're the mind of Ball Valve said, This is 11. I'm not starting at 4. I'm gonna go right to 15. This is what I wanted. So you took it to final project from the start rather than building up to it.
Right. And it was kind of like it was a shock to the community, at least in my community, when it all happened, because I had been talking about the stream house, this craziness that people are going to witness, that it's going to be groundbreaking. And I'd been talking this talk for a year. I'd been talking about it, and I go, dudes, when it happens, it's gonna be insane. And finally, we had a release date. like a month prior, we had finally gotten to the point where we, I mean, we went in depth, dudes. I mean, we're an LLC. Ball Valve LLC is a real thing. It's, we're a California company, and we actually have employees, which is nuts to me to even think about. I'm no big streamer, dude. I support myself in streaming by working. Literally. That's
Wait, hold on, can you, for all, everybody out there that is aspiring to be a content creator, can you repeat what you just said for the people in the back that didn't hear you say it the first time?
Regarding paying people?
No, 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 that you stream, but you also work and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's something that, that was a big deal for me is knowing that I got to a point real quick. I'm going to get to it. But I got to a point where I thought, I can do this for a full-time living. I can do it now. I've gotten to that point. You think that. You think that for a minute, and then you realize later, that was probably a good decision not to quit my job. So I work full-time, and then I stream full-time. I have a fiance. That's full-time. You know, everything is full-time with me. You know, just to schedule this podcast, there are so many things I have to do on my end. And I'm sure just like anybody else that lives with a family or has a family or whatever, you've got to work around these things, you know? And for me, it's even harder because I work 21 days on the ocean and then 21 days off. Yes, I get 17, 21 day off vacations a year, but I'm gone and I'm literally not home for 21 days straight. The best I can do is FaceTime once in a while to home. So it's hard work that goes behind everything. And a lot of people want, but nobody wants to actually work for it. And, you know, everyone's like, yeah, dude, I want to make it big on Twitch. I want to make it big on YouTube. I want to make it big doing this, that, and the other. It's like, yeah. You gotta earn your stripes. You gotta really work for it, man. Because this is, nobody's gonna hand this to you, dude. You know, and I almost kind of made that mistake, being honest, because the Streamhouse, though the launch was a massive success, and it has been overall a very, very great thing for everyone to watch, that you can literally watch for free. I don't ask for anything. All I ask is if you happen to have the time and you happen to like my content, if you're in my chat, dude, that makes me the happiest guy on the planet. Because streaming is one of my favorite things, literally is my favorite thing to do. But yes, you have to work hard, and having a lot of these streamers, a lot of these, you know, viewers don't understand that we have full-time jobs. We have families. We have this going on. We have doctor's appointments. We're human too, you know? And a lot of people don't understand that because everyone is so used to instant gratification right then and there. You know, you've got like YouTube videos, people putting YouTube videos up 4 or 5 times a week, you know, because people are willing to do that. But there comes, as we talked before, Junkhead, you're sacrificing a lot of your life to do that. I'm not saying you have to sacrifice a ton, but when you become a streamer, or you are a streamer, or you're known as a streamer, or a YouTuber, whatever, content creator, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes that nobody talks about. And that's why I love talking about my story or anybody's stories. That's why I love these podcasts, because you really get to learn about different people's, you know, the way they dealt with things and the way they handled certain things and their story. And maybe it's relative to you, you know, and it can really hit home with you. But anyways, I digress. But yeah, so we built this Streamhouse, and we launched it July 3rd of 2019. And it was a complete success. And it was awesome. It was just a massive party constantly, dudes. It was constantly a party. And then we got to the point where it started backfiring. if you can believe it. It started backfiring. And that's the thing that I don't usually discuss, but I'm totally going to discuss it on this podcast, is that usually you would think, oh yeah, these people, you know, they're going to see this and go, wow, I want to stick around for the entertainment. Sure, that does happen. But now people are like, oh dude, I ain't going to fucking sub to this guy. He doesn't need my money. Because we all want to feel like we're helping. Like we're a part of a community. We're helping each other. That's how Twitch works in reality. We're helping other people do their dream. And for me, people looked at me and they're like, dude, you're the last guy that needs a sub, you know? And I'd have people fucking say it in my chat. And it's like, just to be clear, I'm not asking for any subs, any donations, anything. But I am going to set the record straight that though I have a very, very fancy setup behind me, that doesn't mean right now, at this very moment, I'm overdrafted in my bank account at this very second, as we speak, right here, right now. I live paycheck to paycheck just like everyone else. It's mind-boggling, I know it. You know, if you've seen the show, you're like, how is that possible? But it is. It's you're seeing a dream.
I can actually believe you in that, man. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
it's hard work.
You invested so much, but in the end, you know, the money gotta at some point keep coming in if you wanna eat, drink, and pay everything you need to pay, you know?
And I 100%. Just don't think, like, someone believed in your dream. Someone believed in your vision. And yep. It's when someone, you know, like we've talked, and I was like, when you said no, and we all know Salt's an awesome dude, and I look forward to
amazing.
The day that me and Salt are having a pina colada, you know.
Yeah.
And but, you know, my thing is that someone believed in your vision, and it's up to. I don't think anybody here on this podcast that like I've known BB for quite a while now, and. Hi everybody, it's me Bobby from the Fraggin' and Laggin' podcast.
Hold on a minute. Why is it always you doing the intro? It's my time now. Guys, if you ever wondered what peripherals we're using while we're doing this podcast, while we're gaming, while we're having fun, while we're actually fragging, we're using XtraFi. If you want to check them out, it's XtraFi.com. If you want to check a local store near you or an online store, XtraFi.com/resellers. Go and check it out. I gotta say, I've been using the super lightweight mouse for a year now. It's amazing. It improved my aim and it improved my gaming. And I had them send over some stuff to Bobby to test out. What did you think about it, Bobby?
I'm gonna tell you, I've been using the one specific mouse for like 2 years. And the fine people at XtraFi sent me this awesome RGB mouse, the M4. And it's super lightweight. It took me like a little bit to get used to it, and I'm never going to use anything else. I mean, it's so simple to change my DPI. The polling on it is simple, and not only that, I got some H1 Ninjas in Pajamas inspired headphones in the mail today, and I love them 100%. So, you guys.
Yeah, guys, as you can hear, headsets, keyboards, mice, mouse pads. Accessories.
Let me
like
ask you this.
What
are you? I noticed that you said you wanted a mouse bungee for Christmas this year. But guess what? XtraFi's got you covered. 100%.
Oh, awesome, man.
You guys go to XtraFi.com or XtraFi.com/resellers. They sell all over the world, Asia, NA, Europe. They got you covered. So you guys, check it out. Tell them the guys from the Fraggin' Laggin' podcast send them your way. And just keep in mind, if you guys are out there, you better be fragging, because if not,
you're probably not using XtraFi gear.
I have a rough estimate of what the was invested dollar-wise into your... So I just need people in the chat.
I'm not uncomfortable talking about numbers. Yeah, see, that's what we're here for.
I want people to understand that someone believed in Ball Valve to invest a huge amount into that stream house. So, and it does bother me when I've been in your chat and I'm like, man, I feel bad. I don't have the money to subscribe and support my buddy. And then you're like, dude, don't fucking worry about it. And you hear people like, look at this comp. Okay. So how much was invested for the stream house? If you feel
okay,
like saying that
so,
amount.
Yeah. So I invested the main amount. Okay. I spent my life savings I pulled basically everything I possibly could, credit-wise as well. I pretty much did everything I could. Then I got a loan from my father, and then I got a loan from Salt. Salt was very significant, and so was Captain Brad. Captain Brad was $20,000, and Salt was $45,000. The rest in total, was $700,000 for the complete setup.
Top to bottom production, and that
top to bottom from building a house next to your house, it cost $700,000 after everything was done. After, I mean, you got to think, we had over 20 people, laborers, easily on like a single day. You know what I mean? And imagine that for how long. I mean, these are 11-inch thick cement walls all the way around me, right?
How big is the house, like in square foot?
It is. I don't know the square footage, to be honest, but I do know that it is 18 feet lengthwise and 10 or 11 foot. I guess height-wise would be lengthwise, 10 foot, 11 foot, something like that, and height would be, you know, I don't know.
Is it like height just is, one like super big room, or is it like,
yeah,
a
it's like
with
one,
different rooms, or
no, it's a single room. It, you know, I've done IRL streams where, you know, people thought, I get accused all the time that, you know, I'm using green screens, which is awesome. I love that. I think it's actually a meme. It's turned into a meme because now my Nightbot, anytime anyone says green screen, you know, it's like it says just like Dr. Disrespect. So I play into that meme a lot. And for me, you know, I don't have green screens. It really is what you see. And so I've done IRL streams where I've backed up from the house, from the outside, and walked people in, shown the floor, you know, because, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. I mean, we have literally miles worth of cables in this house. And my whole floor is 6 inches above the floor cement. And we had to level everything out, not only level it, but then we had to get a frame that goes all the way around the dance floor so that you wouldn't accidentally fall off and break your leg. We had to learn where the center was. I mean, it was, the dance floor in itself was probably, though it's one of the coolest items in the Stream House, it was by far the most pain in the ass thing I've ever dealt with electronically ever. I mean, it was the biggest pain in the ass, and it was so hard to figure out because nobody knows the software, nobody knows the hardware. There's three of these registered in the United States, this exact model. So not a lot of people understand what these are, because this is an LED illuminated dance floor at, I forget what they are, 3.2s or something like that. And what that means is at 3.2 feet away, it looks like a completely real picture. You don't see pixels. Now on camera, it's different. Cameras work that way. But in real life, from 3.2 feet away, it looks like a real image. And that's why, like at big shows, let's say you're at a concert and you're, let's just say we're watching Five Finger Death Punch on, or Slipknot on stage, right? They have what's something called those floors or screens that they're actually big LEDs, and they're called 20s. And so from 20 feet away, it looks like they're very crisp images. That's usually what you see on the sides of stages when you're watching a big concert. You know, it's usually something like that. So these are this is a 3.2. And I knew that the height of the Stream House being that it's like 12 feet, 13 feet tall, I knew that 3.2 feet would be plenty. You know, but those were things that were like thought of and was like, let's fucking do it. It was almost impulse.
It's fucking all in or nothing.
That's how our mentality was. It was go just essentially balls deep. Do it. If you're gonna do your dream, do it fucking now. And
fucking no regrets, bitches.
No regrets. No and to regrets. This day, I don't have any regrets. Do I feel guilt? Of course I have some guilt. It's not easy knowing you owe people money. That is something that I suffer anxiety over, because it's hard, man. Knowing, because I was like, dude, hopefully I'll be able to pay you off in the first couple years. You know,
it's, and I think it's all of our mentality. There is people that like just take, and like if I ask for like a donation for a new camera, like I have that guilt, you know. Like Blaze needed to upgrade his PC, and me and one of his mods created a GoFundMe so he could get a new PC upgraded, and he was a little upset that we did it because we knew we believed in what he was doing, and for him to achieve what he needed a serious upgrade, and thankfully some people opened up their hearts and their PayPals or whatever and was able to donate. And but he would never do that himself. He would never ask himself, you know, or like it's tough for me to ask anybody. And then now I have that on in the back of my mind. I'm like, man, this, if I could never be doing what I'm doing now if it wasn't for such and such, you know, my homie Guy Shadow donating money so I can get a new camera, you know, my homie Scully Shot donating money so I can get a 144 hertz. Like, I don't forget those things, and I still have that in the back of my mind. And I'm like, but that's my minuscule amount compared to, you know, like what Salt and it's funny. Let's go back to your dad. Because it's so funny, because I need for you to tell everybody out there the story about your dad. Okay, like every time you're in his chat, it's Captain Brad, right? That's his dad.
Yep, he's Captain Brad 64.
Captain Brad 64. And like I said, to this day, I've had two dreams of two people in my chat. Captain Brad and the story. Tell everybody the story of Pinocchino.
Oh, Pinocchino.
Okay.
This is probably one of the most embarrassing, funniest things that's happened. So I had a buddy of mine who also streams, but he doesn't stream much anymore. But he came into my stream one day and he was going to do a joke. He goes, hey, do you know that guy named Pinocchio? And the way it's spelled out, if you look at the way, now I'm illiterate as fuck, and this is why it happened, but the way, if you look at the way Pinocchio is spelt, I looked at him and I said, nah, dude, I don't know what a Pinocchino is. And the entire chat blew up. It was like the funniest thing that had ever happened on the face of the earth, right? So then my dad, being the biggest troll he is, now literally,
he is the biggest troll of the people, whole wide world.
I have a decent viewer base and fan base or family, whatever you want to call it, that know me. And to this day, my biggest troll is my father, which is hilarious. I love it. I think it's hysterical. But anywho, he created a Twitch account called Pinocchino. And he would use that tier 3 sub to me and then just go into these crazy rambles about nothing. He would go on and just make up paragraphs of just words blandly mixed together to sound like a very intelligent. His vocabulary is massive, but he's doing it on purpose so that nothing makes sense. And he made me every time read them. And I would sit there and read them. And I'm just like, I'm so illiterate. I can't even get past the first sentence because of the words he's using. I'm like, dude, I don't know what any of this is, dude. You know, I have no fucking clue, man. But Pinocchino, man, was the greatest joke in jokes, in my opinion, in my channel.
You know, and it's become the biggest meme. I mean, when are you going to be putting out the Pinocchino was here shirts from you?
Oh, dude, Pinocchino, the OGs, every OG would buy that shirt. I guarantee you.
Because it'd be so funny because you'd get, your dad would come in and like he would subscribe or he would donate something and like, can you shut up? You know, you're being a little, this is the old days when you were in the, you know, when you, because there's the video
dad even threw my phone number in the chat.
He dropped
my personal cell phone number in my chat where I had 100 plus people watching.
And, but like, and there's a clip out. You guys don't know who Captain Brad. I wish we're gonna have to find it so we could post a link in the description down below where.
Oh, I've got it. Where he gets blinded?
Yeah, like, so Ball Bob's doing a BV hype dance, and his dad walks in, and he gets blinded by this little laser beam, and then he comes back in, he's got, like, a PVC cane, and he's walking around like he's been blinded. So,
he's got
yeah.
those big glasses, those massive glasses that usually, you know, people that can't see have.
It's funny because, like, Pino Chino was the biggest troll and
by far
in your because he is so hilarious. It's like, and he comes in, it's like an alter ego from
dude
Captain
he
Brad.
Hacked my stream 4th of July no it was 3rd of July no it was 4th of July. I streamed 3rd of July and then I went back to work 4th of July 2018, and I went to work, and I work 1800 to 06. And for people that don't know military time, that is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. So I worked 1800 to 06. I get to work, and about 2000, I get a notification. Ball Valve is live. What? What do you mean? I'm Ball Valve. How the fuck could I be live right now? So I go on, and my dad and Drea have hacked my stream. And my dad is sitting there singing songs. What are you doing? And he's like, we have hacked Ball Valves. We are now the Captain Brad radio show. We're listening to some punk rock. We're listening to some metal. I mean, he turned the whole thing like as if he was a fucking DJ. And then he was dancing around like I do. I was like, dude, this has got to be the coolest fucking thing ever. And I'm at work going, dude, what are you doing? At the time, I was like, dude, get off my account, you know? And he's like, nah, dude, I'm having a great time. Fuck you, man. Go work, you know? I'm like, oh my God, I've been hacked. And everyone is sitting there watching it and loving it. Now, he could never pull it off anymore in the stream house. It takes you an hour to spool up this stream house. You've got 16 different breakers to hit. And then you've got all the camera angles that you got to get ready, which are 5 different camera angles. You've got to get the dance floor ready. You got to get all 8 televisions ready. You have to have those into what is called a matrix. It is no joke. It's hard to keep the production lights, get everything ready. You know, cleanup. I literally have a cleanup crew for every time I stream. They come in and clean up everything in the stream house. Because it looks like a fucking disaster. A bomb exploded in here every time I stream. There's like towels everywhere, wrappers, bottles, beer bottles, fucking napkins everywhere. I mean, just tons of shit, you know? So it's funny, you know, what really goes behind the scenes. Like, after I'm done streaming, it's not like, oh yeah, I stop the stream and then I step away from the computer and just chill. It's like, no, now it's cleanup time, and we're going to be here for the next hour cleaning. It's not as fun as everyone thinks. Like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, dude, fucking stream house got to be awesome. Dude, there's a lot of cons to it, man. Like, just starting a stream is work. It takes you an hour to get everything ready to click go live. I mean, the amount of scenes, the amount of cameras, everything has got to be working. And you've got to test it before every stream. Because if you don't, I've done it multiple times where I don't test it and something fails. And it's like, yep, there goes my BV hype. And if you don't know what a BV hype is, it's exactly what Junkhead said. It's me literally dancing. I don't know how to dance, so I just do weird moves. And I just bounce around off the walls and shit. To really hype music.
And, with lasers in your hands.
With lasers in my hands and fog machines pouring out. I mean, we've got everything connected.
How many PCs do you have other than your gaming?
So it's 4 PCs altogether.
Holy fuck. Shit.
So all 4 PCs are the same. They are the exact same. You have all the specs are the same. 2 2080 Ti's in each. So 8 total. With 64 gigs of HyperX DDR4 RAM in each. And then I still, believe it or not, have not gotten higher CPUs because I don't need them. Because they're pretty much linked together. So I have i99-9900Ks. they're not something that's great. They're not like, oh yeah, like that is sick, dude. No, it's whatever. It works, you know? But for what I do, visual effects, all that stuff is endless. And it, what I have right now allows me to do it. And what's on my desk right now, if you could see a picture of it, you'd be like, dude, I don't even know where to start. It looks like a fucking spaceship. You know, I've got three different keyboards, a soundboard that has all my channels. I have not, what people know as a Stream Deck. Have you ever heard of a one-handed keyboard? I use a one-handed keyboard for my scene transitions because of how many scenes there are. Then on top of it, I have a scene switcher on my belt, where on my waist, so that when I'm BV hyping, I can switch scenes. That's a hidden behind the scenes shit that no one knows. I switch scenes.
You guys
with
forgot
my belt.
That you heard that. That's a little secret. You guys didn't hear that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because people are like, dude, do you have a producer changing camera angles for you? It's like, no, I'm doing it on my hip, you know. And that's why you'll see me in the middle of a BV hype with my arm sticking out, clicking buttons, you know, and changes all the different camera angles, which is super cool.
Man, I just want to say, if at any point in time you didn't want to run two dual 2080 TIs and you just felt like gifting me one, I wouldn't be mad. I'm just saying.
You'd be the first one that I'd send it to.
No, you guys, real quick, before we go any further, because like I said, we really need to stress this more often, especially in our podcast. If you guys are ever in a bad place in your life and you need someone to talk to, you could reach out to somebody. Please do that. Take the time to reach out to somebody, your friend, family, or anybody. But if you don't feel like talking to any of your friends, please. I can't say please enough. You guys can reach out and call 1-800-273-8255, which is the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. You guys, please. There's no sense of taking a long-term solution for a short-term problem. Just reach out to somebody, and as friends, we need to be there for when someone needs to talk to. And I didn't mean to change that move, but we really need to stress that mental health,
especially in
content creation, because like I know that you have a severe anxiety. We all go with the ebb and flow of content creation. You're either high or you're really low.
Right.
And there is it's the in-betweens, and I just really need to know that for everybody and anybody out there, there's somebody there to help you out.
I'm gonna touch on this subject because it is that important to me, and I stress this a lot on my channel myself. I'm gonna be real. This is totally real talk. You know, as you guys have heard, I suffer with chronic anxiety. I don't suffer with hardcore depression, but I do have depression. And chronic anxiety for me isn't just what you think anxiety is. I have full-blown panic attacks where I think literally I'm going to die. Okay? It is no joke. It is something that, you know, people have just gone, oh, dude, you're just faking it for attention. No, believe it or not, I'm the exact opposite way. I try to just be like, no, guys, I'm just not feeling well right now or whatever. I can't do the stream. And I feel terrible. It's a terrible guilt. Let me tell you something. Being open doesn't mean that you're any less of a human or a man or a woman. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It doesn't mean anything. It means that you're actually powerful, that you have enough strength in yourself to talk to someone. And let me tell you, I have a psychiatrist. I have no shame in that because I believe it's good for everyone to talk to somebody, whether that be a personal friend that you can rely on, which I do. I do have those people in my life that I can talk and get real with, and they won't judge me. They won't think of me differently, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I also have a psychiatrist where I can go and talk to someone and really, you know, in old school terms, you know, have a shrink, you know, and talk to a person and being able to get your emotions out. And I really do got to say that if it weren't for certain people in my life, I wouldn't be where I am today. I'd be still in that rut. And though I never thought of, you know, the suicide stuff, I know that people in my very similar situation could easily be thinking of. And I really, as Junkhead says, I really reach out to people, talk to people. It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be Junkhead. It doesn't have to be Blaze. It can be anyone you feel comfortable with, and I really do take that seriously. So that's all I'm going to say on that. I seriously do take that very seriously. Anyway, onward and upward.
That's the good mentality, right?
Exactly. So, all right. Well,
it was never always like that. Yeah. You got to learn that, and talking to people help you get to that point.
Well, believe it or not, Paul, we are over an hour already. See what happens when we're having fun.
Dude, I feel like I just sat down 5 minutes ago. Wow.
I know. See what happens. I know. But do me a favor. Take this time. I need for you to go through and shout out all your social media, shout out your business website, everything where they can get anything that they could show support to you guys. And you can believe me, we will make sure we have all his stuff down below. So you guys can click that. Show some support for Ball Valve. He's really great. It's what content creation is about. It's a different angle where, like with me, I'm not good at gaming, but I try to be entertaining. And then you have Ball Valve, the human dance machine with a badass stream house. So,
well, I want to first of all thank both of you guys for having me on the show. And I want to make something very clear. I don't go onto something like this because I want to shout myself out. I come on here because it's an honor to be with my friends and just hang out. I'm just stoked to be here. And I'm not looking for anything like that, you know, where...
Thank you, man.
The honor's all ours, because like I said, it's... Like I told you before, is that, and for you guys don't know, is that every time we bring somebody in before we start recording, I tell them that... never let someone tell your story, because if someone's telling your story, it's really their story, and they are just putting you in their story. So the whole premise behind what Blaze and I are doing is that we want content creators to come on and tell their side of the story, that side that no one really knows. And so in all reality, it's an honor and a pleasure that you said yes.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm totally stoked, man, and I can't thank you guys enough for what you do, and every one of your episodes, man, they're bangers, and hopefully people will enjoy maybe the hard truth of, you know, though this is a really cool thing that we've done, there is some downfalls, and there's a lot of anxiety, a lot of pressure, a lot of different things, a lot of things that fell through that were supposed to come through 2020. You know, we were supposed to sign contracts, and COVID totally messed it up for us, you know. And not to get on that topic, but, you know, we were looking at some deals and all of it fell through. And that's just another hurdle. It's just another thing, you know, and that's just the way it goes. And you learn how to roll with the punches. And,
That's a very important part that you're saying there. Like, it's, people always think it's easy, you know. You just, you know, you have an amazing house and everything going on right now.
Oh, well, that's what everyone sees.
You'll get a million subs. You're gonna be fine. You know what I'm saying? But that's not true.
Well,
you know.
Well, people, you know, see me at my best because I refuse to stream when I'm at my lowest because I can't fake it. And I'm not going to fake it. I'm going to be me. And that has led to a lot of guilt. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And I'm not going to get in any heavier into it because I know we got to wrap things up. But it's a heavy, real thing that, you know, you're seeing behind the camera, this guy in a stream house dancing around, having a good time and interacting with everybody. But there is work that goes in behind it. There's, you know, 18 guys that are on the BVLLC. You know, so much that went in behind closed doors to make things happen. It's not easy. I'm not some millionaire that was able to just spend money and do this. Like, I had to do everything in my power to make it happen. But regardless, I want to wrap things up. I want to thank you guys so much for having me. If you guys are interested, please make sure, first of all, to be checking out Fraggin' a Laggin' Podcast on their Twitter. Make sure to be checking that out because you're going to be updated with all the awesome, awesome shows that come out. And second of all, check out, if you want, my personal page, Above TV on Twitter.
Double L. Double L, B-A-L-L-V-A-L-V-E. Just, you know.
There you go. And same thing on Instagram, Above TV, and on on Twitter. Twitch is just Ball Valve. So, anywho, that is me, and that's my little story. And again, I appreciate every single one of you guys for tuning in and hanging out with your boy and having a good time.
Okay, before we end it, because we have our little outro that we're going to do. But before we do that, no, you're not ready yet. I need for you to hit us with the Ball Valve catchphrase that you put on everybody.
Yo, I want to thank everybody for coming in and tuning in and chilling the Max All Cool Shit in the motherfucking B-Ball outside school. Always getting crunked out with the K, dude. Never mistake that shit for a C. Appreciate every single one of you guys for tuning in and chilling with your boy, dude. Means the fucking world to me, dude. Appreciate you.
Just remember, guys, if you ain't out there fragging,
you're probably lagging.
Mom! Get the camera! I gotta kill! Oh, my God, a kill! Oh, yeah, baby! Oh, mommy, I gotta kill! Finally, after 250 games sitting in a corner undying to the gas!